A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this episode is Questions of the Force. What happens in this episode? We get questions from listeners, and hopefully we have answers. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Knapsack, excited to answer questions from the wonderfully silly to the profoundly deep. We love taking all kinds of questions here. I'm not alone today, Joseph. In our studio, our new dog, Francis, Franny, is in my studio. So if anyone hears any sounds, any whimpers or howls or licks, probably most likely, that's Franny joining me here today.
Oh, that is wonderful. Welcome to Franny. New in my studio is I opened from the box, not from the actual package, the Return of the Jedi Vintage Emperor that I know you have as well.
Ooh, yes.
The one that comes with just absolutely clenched teeth. Like it's so great. Obviously, it's meant to be the moment that he's just, you know, sneering and shocking, but it really does look like, you know, you tell someone to smile when they don't want to, and they're like, all right, I'll show you.
Yeah. It's, I think I've made reference to it last week or so on Force Center, but I was at my local Target, saw it, and in the back of my head, I was like, I know Joseph either already has this, has ordered it, and is aware of it, but I couldn't live not knowing that I made sure. I took a photo and sent it to you because I bought it myself, and I'm thinking of taking it out of the package, like I've said before. It is one of my favorite Emperor figures. That face is pure evil, which is what I want in a Palpatine figure.
It's so great. And then he comes with the extra hands that are shooting the lightning. And I just love packages. We're like, this is a great action figure. What's that behind him? Extra hands. Cool.
But then what do you do with the hands when you take it out of the package?
Exactly. What do you do with the Emperor's extra hands? A deep philosophical question we want to get to today's deep philosophical and silly questions from listeners. So we'll start by letting you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are continuing to recommend Brotherhood by Mike Chen, a big adventure of Obi-Wan and Anakin at the beginning of the Clone Wars. I'm almost done reading it. We're going to be discussing it soon. So if you want to get caught up and listen to it, you can download the audiobook version by going to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for a free audiobook. It helps us. And hey, it's a free audiobook. Ken, are you ready for some questions?
Yes, I am, my friend.
Well, we go first to Twitter. We got two questions from Twitter. First is Stephen Kirkpatrick. Stephen says, how far into the Kenobi show do you think we'll have to wait for Obi-Wan to ignite his lightsaber? And what do you think will cause him to use the saber for the first time? Hashtag speculate responsibly. Oh, this is just some great, classic, delicious meat and potatoes, vegan meatballs and potatoes, if that's your preference. This is just some great, classic, stick to your ribs speculating on something fun in the story, right?
Yes, it is. Had some great vegan pizza this week at a place called Hot Tongue, not too far from where you are, Joseph. Check it out, everybody. Not okay. A sponsor. yes. Man, this is fun. So there's part of me that might want Obi-Wan's first ignition of the lightsaber not to happen until he's standing in front of Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker, something like that. Can we wait? And is that going to happen at the end of the show, right? Then my mind goes, but no. What if the first 10 seconds are him standing before Vader and he ignites the lightsaber and then there's a freeze frame and then Michael Cera says, that was me 3 weeks ago. And we do that. I don't know. At the end of the day, I want it to be delayed. I want a little delayed lightsaber satisfaction a little bit later.
Yeah, maybe I'm being overly affected by the way the trailer is handling it, right? Like that trailer in particular, that teaser where that line about, like, you know, hope or the image about hope, and he's looking up and you feel like the next shot should be the bzzz, and instead they put it in the blue lightsaber ignites to help cut out the Disney logo. It's right. Building up. It's this awareness of the anticipation for that moment. Right. And I think in the storytelling, they also have to be super aware. This isn't Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars. This isn't Phantom Menace. We're just like, yeah, no, I mean, I ignite my lightsaber 27 times a day. It's just part of life. It's Tuesday, right? This is a time where it has deep meaning, significance, risk. You know, it's not just the audience applause factor. It's so meaningful to the character in the era, which just kind of like amps it all up for how cool is that first moment going to be. I think there's a possibility that it's later. What my hope is, which is different than the speculation, my hope is at the end of episode 2.
Okay, kind of like, that's kind of the out into the wild, the call's been answered type of moment, or?
Yeah, like fully into this new world. I think a lot of the limited series of all kinds that have been 6 episodes have been very much structured like a movie with 3 acts, where it shifts a little bit, but basically first 2 episodes, first act, and then second episode, 2 episodes, second act, and third act, in having a lot of those beats. And I think it might be one of the reasons that they made the choice to release the first 2 episodes so that we're, by the end of the second episode, all of the exposition, all of the setup is established and we're launching into the adventure. Obi-Wan is crossing the threshold into his version of a new world. And I think that could be, I think he'll go off planet within those first 2 episodes. But igniting that blade is really the, like, I am truly taking my first step, not into a larger world, but back into my previous world, which is new for me.
Yeah, there's something about even Ewan's comments in the interview. We were talking about this past week on Star Wars, or yesterday on Star Wars News with the Empire magazine. And he's got to decide if he wants to go back, right? If he even wants to go to the way he was. That the lightsaber really does symbolize that. Because I was even thinking in a jokey sense, maybe it starts with him in the cave with the lightsaber out, and he's just like, oh, look at this. Look at what this represents to me. But then I'm like, I think even igniting the lightsaber at this point in his life, because this isn't Obi-Wan and Chaman's Cantina with Ponda Baba or anything like that. At this point in his life, just even looking at, like maybe even has it in a box. I don't know. There's something about that that I could get behind. And again, we're seeing him fight with blasters, all this kind of thing.
Hand to hand.
And you're right. Just he's hiding too. Number one, stay hidden. That's one of the things. So yeah, at this point, lightsabers probably don't come on out. Anyways, I'm excited. This is a great question, Stephen, because I hadn't focused. I'd focus on so many other things about the series that I love, but the igniting of the blade, his blade, it's going to be a cool moment, which is why maybe I want to wait a little bit.
Yeah. I think if it doesn't happen in the first two episodes, that will definitely affect the discussion around Star Wars Celebration. When's he going to ignite the blade? We should also acknowledge that in that recent Empire article or magazine article, there was an image of Obi-Wan with the blade ignited. Just his figure, either cropped out of the background, like you're making a little cut and paste montage art for yourself there, or it's a promotional shot. But in terms of the second part of Steven's question here of what will cause him, I kind of like the idea that the first time it comes out, he is alone and cornered by an Inquisitor. Because looking at that second trailer, we see him using a blaster with stormtroopers on what looks like Tatooine. We see him using blaster against what appears to be a bounty hunter chasing him down on what appears to be Dio, right? But we know the Inquisitors are on him. So there's something about it to me that's like if he's blasting away while he's out in public, but he gets somewhere on Dio of like there is no other spectators around and an Inquisitor corners me and I'm not revealing anything by igniting it, and I need my lightsaber for an Inquisitor.
I like that.
They're not a stormtrooper. They're not a bounty hunter.
Right.
I need my blade for this conflict.
Yeah. A matter of true survival at that point. Mm-hmm. True survival.
Yeah. That's my wild, fun speculation. How about yourself?
With great purpose is the easy answer for me. So whether it's just simply as, you know, protecting Luke, something we kind of, that was part of the big beats, one of the big beats in the themes in that Rebels twin sons moment, right? That he doesn't really take that kind of action until he feels Maul is going to threaten his mission there. So that's got to kind of be it. But I think we're going to get a clash with Reva or just any Inquisitor, fifth brother, otherwise. I think you're going to get that clash. Now, could the first non-red lightsaber in the series be ignited by someone else not named Kenobi? We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful things to speculate on as well as, what other Jedi survived and are they around? So I could see that, but I'm with you on that. I don't have any deviation from that idea if he pulls it out, it is to defend and is defend himself. It is for survival. It is for the overall mission that he's on, which is Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, ultimately. Yeah, that's great. So much fun Kenobi speculation. I'm almost sad that we have a limited window to speculate because soon we will know the answers.
We'll know the answers. One, Joseph, when do you think is the first time Kenobi will take a drink?
I think water within the first 10 minutes.
Okay, well, you know.
At a bar? I hope that's the entire fourth episode.
Yeah, same.
All right, moving along from lightsabers and drinking, a dangerous combination, we go to Matt K. Matt says, I know Joseph likes to keep his Star Wars figures carded. Do you see that changing when Hasbro moves to plastic-free packaging and you won't be able to see the figure unless you open the box? Matt, thank you for directing this question to my action figure obsessions, but I grabbed this because I was also really interested in your thoughts, Ken, about how you decide when to open a figure, when not to open a figure, and if it's going to change when not as many figures have the plastic packaging where you can see the actual figure.
Yeah, which I'm okay with, and that will force me to open a lot of them. Yeah, I think that's, first of all, it's kind of a, I guess you could say a theme and slash problem in my life, a commitment issue. when I look at them in the package, I'm like, well, if I take it out, I'm committing to this, that they're opening, that the package is open and the figure is out. I just don't know. And so there you go. I'll go to my therapist with that one there. I really do think it with the lack of seeing them and lack of just being able to pin them on a wall and display them will cause me to open them more. And I'm good with that. I'm good with it for the bigger issues of plastic free and all that kind of stuff. I can get behind that. And yeah, you know, and I'll say this as someone who's, you know, big switch to being vegan was not just about my health, but maybe the health of the world a little bit. I will miss not being able to have a good old plastic package. I'm not going to lie there, but keeping with Star Wars, I'm not afraid to move forward. And then if the benefit is opening up some good old plastic figures, I'm good with that too.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about it because it is an opportunity to embrace change. Obviously, I do think it is good for the world. So I'm excited for a lot of those reasons. I understand what you're saying about you're committing to changing the state of this figure by opening it. What makes you do that? What makes you look at a figure and go, this one I'm really happy to have, you know, up on my wall in the package. Mm-hmm. What makes you go, I got to take this one out?
You know, I'm literally, as you're speaking, I have examples of, I don't know, I have a Funko Pop Leia on a speeder bike, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I bought that a few years ago, and it's like one of my favorite Leias, one of my favorite sequins, very important. And I couldn't keep that in the box because I just wanted to be able to feel the actual figure, the bike, the poncho and the helmet. And there's something about that. Where on the same room here, I have a bunch of Leia figures. So I'll use Leia as the example, this character that means a lot to me. I have four Leia figures in package on the wall just because it's fine. It looks good. It's a collection. It's her through the era, through the different eras. Whereas that speeder bike one, I just kind of need to, if I want to pull it off the shelf and go vroom, vroom, vroom with it, that's what I want.
You want to play.
I want to play.
Yeah. Oh, that's really great. Yeah. I think I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been working on some action figure writing. So I've been thinking about this a lot, which is really, really fun. I'm excited about the plastic free packaging because it alleviates some of my my package anxieties. To me, I love action figures for two reasons, because they're toys that are meant to be taken out and played with or displayed. Vroom, vroom, vroom. The ones that I've taken out of the package in the last couple of years, I've bought two of to get over the anxiety. But like I have my Last Jedi Luke right next to me. I have the vintage collection Rey from Rise of Skywalker. And like they're different because there are other packages that are my little desk buddies.
Yes. Can
pick them up and have this different relationship with them. And I believe that's what toys should be. But then it isn't any sort of like, they won't be valuable. They won't be mint. It's on the card. They are pieces of art to me. And the package is a part of the art. It is, the artwork on the package. It's the warnings that are on the package. It's the advertisements for the other figures that came out in that wave. Sometimes the funny text about the figure. Those are all a stamp of when it was made. They have aesthetic value in and of themselves. And to me, the whole package is a piece of art. Even the way the figure is posed inside, if it's done well, or sometimes it's awkward, that's kind of like a part of it to me. So I have this complex relationship because I do believe they should be taken out and they're meant to be taken out. But at the same time, taking them out of the package to me is kind of like looking at the Mona Lisa and going, yeah, but the painting's of Mona Lisa, so you can just cut her off from the background. No, the background's part of the painting. It helps define the figure, Mona Lisa, you know?
That's amazing. I actually want to dig in a little bit more. I think you're so right. The stereotype of Jeff Albertson, the comic book guy from The Simpsons, don't take it out, it's mint condition. Like that's a stereotype that's long, just has no relevance anymore. It's just long gone. The value of these figures is not the concern because there's so many of them now. We're in a different era that unless it is Return of the Jedi era Kenner Luke with no punched out card, it has no real value to me, right? I'm not collecting this for any money. That's long, long been just removed as a consideration. So it does become how I want to appreciate the art. I'm with you. Same with comic books, right? Like I still get the actual comic books. I don't go digital. I don't even go trade paperbacks, which is probably would be more conducive to my reading time frame. I love the individual covers as art. And Funko, they're not the best figures. They're kind of silly. They're designed to be silly. That packaging has always been what has made them interesting to me. they just look good. They look fun. They look bright. So I think to answer your question even a little more deeper, what I pull out of the packaging might be a situation of how I want to appreciate this piece of art different than the other piece.
Yeah. 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 That's really well said, because like it's not like when I look at my Luke and my Ray, my desk buddies, that I think like they're less than. In some ways, they're fully realized. So it is this art that you can appreciate in these two different states. Which brings me back to the plastic free packaging. I've got a deluxe Boba Fett vintage 3¾ that I've had pre-ordered since the Book of Boba Fett was airing. That is allegedly coming to me in July. We'll see. And that one is plastic free. It's just the image. And I'm thrilled because in order to open it, I'll probably just need to cut some tape. And that's different to me than in order to open a vintage card, you do violence to it, right? It's like literally ripping it and tearing it. And this is for me a little bit of like definitely a therapy issue. but it is, it's not just changing the state. It can never be back in that state again, right? I know some people are amazing at taking the blister card off and can do it without, you know, tearing the art. But, especially when you're a kid, you just tear it and it's just like, that's gone, right?
Yeah.
You just, and half the image rips up with it. And you're like, yeah, whatever, when you're a kid. At least I was. Yeah. And the idea that, okay, I can look at the package and then I can just take my trusty pocket knife and slit some tape and fold it open. And I'm not really doing violence to the packaging. Yeah. And then take that Boba Fett out and really appreciate the figure as just the figure and piece of art in that state. Great. I can play with him. I can pose him. Maybe Boba Fett will become a desk buddy. We'll see. But then if I ever want to just like hang the package up and look at it as the package, then that art is preserved as well.
Ooh, see, you're selling me on that. Yeah. You can, as you might, like the Funko Pop packages, I've pulled some of them out and then tried to put them back in the box. I can never get it right. The box is always just a little round now. It's no longer square. It's round. So I agree with you. If that could be a little easier, it opens up some options.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's fun. We're having fun. You can tell we're both getting excited by just different ways we do it. And that might be how I decide. Like I'm looking at this Emperor. I'm staring at it right now. And I'm like, I'm opening it up. I'm going to open it up because I want to display Palpatine with his lightning bolts. And appreciate it in a different way.
Right. He'd be beautiful with the lightning bolts actually flying, but then there's also a kind of beauty of him trapped in that package with the weird lightning hands in it. You know, you can't initially see his hands. You just see the lightning coming up over his shoulder and it looks like he has wings.
It does. On the wings of Palpy.
Exactly. On the wings of Palpy. Coming soon to Top Radio, Top 40 Radio. So that was the very long answer, Matt K, for this great question. The short answer is, I'm really excited. I can't wait to take a deluxe Boba Fett out because the figure is super important to me and I don't want to have a package where the figure inside is just a mystery. So I'll definitely be opening Boba Fett up and playing with him.
Yeah, long answer. But you know what? Matt K, he knew what he was doing when he asked that question. He knew it was going to be long.
I think he did. I think he knew he was opening a package of its own, a Pandora's box of talk. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with our questions from our patrons on Patreon.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And we are back to continue Questions of the Force. We took some questions from listeners on Twitter, and we go now to patrons on Patreon. This comes to us from Jega Radomini. I apologize. I am sure that I did not pronounce your name entirely correctly. I apologize for that. Here is the question. Hello, I love your show. Been listening for a long time. Question for you guys. Do you think we'll see a movie or show that explains Maul's story between his Crimson Dawn days and where he ends up in Rebels? I know we've seen a lot of him, but I'd really love to know what happened. I am right there with you. I'd love to know what happened. I'm going to start here, Ken, that I am not caught up on all of the Kira comics or comics that Kira has appeared in. I know that in the Bounty Hunter War, it's pretty clear that she is in charge of Crimson Dawn, right? Which, you know, Maul's not around at that point in the timeline anyway. And I know that we're getting this, it started the Kira Crimson Dawn comic, and I am not caught up with those at all. Are you caught up with those?
I am not caught up with Crimson Rain. I have
Crimson Rain, excuse me.
Yeah, War of the Bounty Hunter one I am, and yeah, you're correct on the timeline there as well. So yeah, to my knowledge, none of this has even been hinted at. Like, she hasn't been like, and then there was that time I fought Darth, former Darth Maul on that planet. Nothing that I remember. I also have a problem retaining my comic book information.
Right, but it hasn't. I would think that, you know, obviously possibility always that there's something that we don't know, so we want to acknowledge that. But I would think if the first issue of Crimson Rain was, and this is how Kira marooned Maul on Malachor, there would have been some echoes of that on social media.
Yeah, indeed.
Which means at this time, even if there's some implications in the comic books that maybe we don't know about, that story, the clash between the theoretical clash between Kira and Maul, how he goes from commanding her to join him on Dathomir to marooned on Malachor, is a big wide open mystery. Do you want to see that story, and where and how?
Absolutely want to. I absolutely do. And I know a lot of people out there, there's all rumors, whether it's, you know, hey, make Solo 2 happen from the Resistance broadcast folks, or rumors of animated series and all those kind of things. I'm at the point of, hey, I'm just going to kind of wait back until something concrete develops, and maybe it does. And maybe it doesn't. And if it doesn't, I have a lot of headcanon I'm going to plug into it. It is about Maul's story, but I think it's impossible to think about that without Kira's story. So that's why it's appealing for a lot of fans too. We love Kira here. We love the potential of the story. We love what is there, what the character represents. And I think a lot of people do too. That's why she was brought back for the War of the Bounty Hunter series. But the other side of it is Maul. Maul's an interesting case study to me of how to not learn lessons, how to not change. And I think that's valuable too. So I do want to see what happened. And I think the best way, I don't know if it's, I think it might be animated. I don't know about that. I don't know. I haven't, Solo made me think otherwise. I'd love to see Emilia Clarke in the role. So you know, I might go there, but I think just mold designs, where is the voice? It just might flow a better animated. I'm lost. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll flip a coin.
Yeah. I mean, I think I go down a similar a maze of thoughts that you do is yeah. I really want this story. And there is a question to me of how much is it Maul's story and how much is Kira's story, or do they become disconnected, right? There's this world right. where you pick up with Kira arriving in the first light on Dathomir. And, mm-hmm. and it would be fun to see that, you know, a pleasure yacht spaceship just parked over creepy old Dathomir and see like her, you know, the way she gets around Maul's clear suspicion. How does she rise in power? How does she get his trust? Does she defeat him separate from him ending up on Malachor? How does he end up on Malachor? Could maybe be its own journey. All those questions are interesting to me.
Right.
But I think I'm most interested in Kira versus Maul. How does she end up in charge? And I think because I love Emilia Clarke's performance, there's a part of me is like, yeah, Disney Plus show, please. I would be right. thrilled. I think that's my first choice. But then, yeah, you do get into like, okay, the way they did it in Solo with Ray Park performing and Sam Witwer doing the voice worked great. But that was one scene where he was having a super spooky business meeting.
Yes, yes.
But if it's like, if the show is, you know, Crimson Dawn, Kira versus Maul, and he is holding up one half of the show, does that process get onerous? All that stuff.
Yeah.
Also, you know, there was an incident with Ray Park with an inappropriate thing posted on Instagram that allegedly then his wife said it was a misunderstanding. A lot of ambiguity on the research I did. It's very, very unclear what happened there. But I just wanted to footnote that because I think that some fans are aware of there's something floating around with Ray Park. It to me, in the research I was able to do, there's a lot of ambiguity. So I have no strong opinion on that.
Same. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it factors into any kind of dreaming up of what might come, which is why maybe even subconsciously I'm thinking, Clone Wars season 7 was great. And I know he did the mocap for it. I get that. Mm-hmm.
He did mocap for the fight. Yeah. So ignoring any of the sort of the real world situation, which may or may not be an obstacle, that there's also just the practical. Does that really work to have so much of that sort of split performance that they did an amazing job syncing up on for Solo? So maybe they do an amazing job, but.
Well, you'd even go into Phantom Menace with Peter Serafinowicz. Like, you didn't have a lot of heart-to-heart, long-form conversations with Maul and other people, you know?
Right.
It was just Park doing excellent work on the set and the fights and some famous and at times infamous lines. So even then, it's different than what you would want out of a live-action version now if you were to do a combination of an actor and a voice actor there. So, and again, they could do it. It wouldn't be the first time. ADR, all that stuff, I get it.
Yeah, no, ADR is nothing new, but it also demands a performance from Ray Park.
Yeah. So, it's interesting there. But, yeah, so anyways, no easy answer. I just want the story here.
Yeah. So if there were an animated version of the story, that would be great too. But I definitely, it's one of the most intriguing threads from Solo that I would love to pick up on. And I think really a chance to tell Maul's story because he's such a beloved character and I want to know his story. And I really want to know Kira's story. It's almost fascinating to me if like you did an animated show where they started out in conflict and then they kind of went their separate ways. and you followed Kira's growth in taking over Crimson Dawn. You followed Maul ending up on Malachor. If they're not one and the same, fascinating, fun stuff. Great question. Thank you very much. Any other thoughts on hearing about Maul's story?
This might be a deeper thought. I will say this, as controversial as this might be, Joe. This is a hot take. If we get the story, I do not want it in novel or comic book form. Now, would I take it if that's the only way? Yes, but I want to see it in a different. I want to see it moving on the screen in front of me.
I agree with that. I love so many of the books, many of the comics. I think they do a phenomenal job. There is something about Maul that is, you know, obviously very visual, very kinetic. He carried the entire, basically the entire promotion of the Phantom Menace on his back. By his appearance in that great lightsaber fight. And then, yes, even if it's animated and we get Emilia Clarke to voice it, her performance is phenomenal and I'd want her involved.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I agree with your spicy hot take. Spicy. We're going to move on then to our final question here. Patron David Litchfield says, I absolutely subscribe to the idea that Star Wars offers one of the absolute best means of escapism from real life earthbound problems in politics. But in your view, what are the best teachings, lines of dialogue, and general philosophies from a galaxy far, far away that help you understand and cope with the big, all too real global events that we have been witness to recently? When David put this question in, it was quite a ways back, because it takes us a little while to get to all of the great questions on Patreon. And we had kind of a similar discussion, and David very kindly acknowledged, like, hey, you kind of answered this. But you know what? We wanted to answer it again fully. Mm. It's a great question, David, and I think framed in a really important way. So, Ken, I actually want to start with the great way that David frames this, that Star Wars can be two things, right? It can be escapism. It can be like, I worked really hard today. I had this stress and I just want to go watch a bonkers weird scene in space, you know, and see some weird, funny, terrifying creatures fight some awesome heroes. Yay. Or it can also be, hey, I want to understand how, an entire people could give away all of their power to a fascist dictator and really invest in that. I want to watch one of the really political episodes of the Clone Wars and understand, you know, what Padme's real life political alignments are. Like, it can be both of those things. How do you feel about that? And how do you sort of manage how you take in Star Wars when it can be both?
I think, yeah, it's both ways are so valid, and you're so right, because we need that. As a comedian who was unactive for so many years, and now I'm back doing comedy, I try to, in my own set, find the balance of, I just want to make some people laugh, but I also want to make sure I got some stuff in there that just makes you think, because I am communicating my view of the world to you. I don't believe in the idea of it's just jokes, folks. Every joke tells something, but he also... You don't want to come in with a sledgehammer,
right?
For 9 minutes or whatever. And I think so. It's okay to do what you did, where some days, yeah, you know what? I just want to do. I want to watch the pod race because I love those sounds. I love everything about it now, and I just want to enjoy that. Or sometimes I want to put in Revenge of the Sith just so I can hear that music while Anakin and Obi-Wan are fighting, and I don't want to worry about why they're fighting. But the other side, especially, I was going to say lately, but. It's so interesting, tragic, really, that you say David submitted this question a little bit ago, and it's almost evergreen in terms of global events. But also, that's life. Whether you see it on a tweet or a news story, horrible things happen every day, and that's important to remember. And because the way we talk about Star Wars, but the way as I've gotten older, I pull more from Star Wars than I ever have. And I always mention that Carl Weathers segment in the Mando behind the scenes stuff, talking about, you know, this stuff was here for me in my early 20s, probably when I needed it, but I didn't really hear it till later. And that's the beauty of Star Wars. I'm so happy that we, over the years at Force Center, have just really doubled down on the discussion of the themes and discussion of what Star Wars means. I was moved on the day of George Lucas's birthday, was also the tragedy in Buffalo. And it's like, what do you do against all that pain? What do you do against all that suffering? And I'm like, here you got this guy who sits down with a pad of paper and says, I want to put something out into the world that is about confronting fear, that fear is evil and greed and power are never enough. And how do you lose things? How does good people and even good organizations go bad? All these things, and also hope, that little thing called hope. It is super silly. And it is, if you're more a Marvel person or you don't like movies, you like something else, you don't need to spend all the time with Star Wars to get this. These lessons can be found elsewhere. But for those of us invested in Star Wars, for those of us who continue to talk about Star Wars, I'm glad to be on this side of the discussion that is about these themes that mean so much, because I have learned more from Star Wars in the last 2 years than I have in my first 44 being a Star Wars fan. And that moves me and inspires me. And that's my starting overall starting point of this discussion.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. And I think we're aligned. The more we talk about Star Wars and get to hear other people's perspectives and how it's affected their lives, the depth of it is really profound to me and how intentional it is. And I always say it's just subjective. If you don't like a scene or you don't like a line or you think that was poorly written or whatever, that's all always valid. But to step back and look at so much of it and see every line is intentional, every beat is intentional to build these ideas of hope in the face of crushing darkness and how easy it is to divide people with fear and how difficult but rewarding it is to try to find strength in unity and in respecting yourself, but also respecting the group, and that by helping others, you help yourself. All these ideas, they're in there everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And that is really powerful. I think for me, this is one of the reasons that I like Star Wars is that it is this balance. I think Lucas had, you know, he's talked about in interviews, books that like, hey, I want to tell a modern myth that gives kids some guidelines on how to find themselves and deal with the scary parts of the world and ultimately gives them hope. So I want to tell this modern myth, not in a way that's just like looking at the world and having this sort of bleak outlook on the scary stuff, but I want it to be fun and joyful. So it draws people into these lessons. So, okay, then I'm going to tell the story in this fun, joyful way that pulls on things that I liked when I was a kid, which is the pulpy serial adventure. And this is sometimes why I'm always on about the pulpy serial adventure, because to me, it's one half of Star Wars. And it is the part that is joyful. It's the part that David is describing that's escapism. It's the part that's just a fun noise, a fun scene. Lightsabers are cool. Yeah. They're meaningful, but also they're just cool. And it's cool to watch two characters fight with them. Right. Yeah. And, you know, even in like The Last Jedi, a movie that I absolutely love, I feel like it tilts a little bit more to the depth and the morals and the myth. And I think it's a little lighter on the pulp and the adventure. And to me, the action scenes it has are pretty much phenomenal. But they're a little bit more spaced out, right?
Yeah.
Unlike Lucas, who's just like, it's gotta come at every beat, you know? It's one of the things that happens with Rise of Skywalker too, that some people don't enjoy it because it's moving too fast, but I think it has this commitment to the pulpy adventure, excitement, escapism moments. So that's what I'm really fascinated about, is delivering this depth while also having this other side that's just pulpy, weird, fun escapism, so you can enjoy it on both levels. Or on one day you can say, I'm devastated and I need Leia and Padme to give me hope.
Yeah.
And another day you can say, I just need a break from it all, so I'm gonna look at all those weirdos in the cantina and laugh and have fun, you know. And you can do both.
Yeah, no, and it's important to be able to do both. I've made reference to some of this stuff before in terms of music. You know, Joseph, you and I are both big music fans, and often those references and bands come into our conversations here. But you could absolutely enjoy a song, sing and dance in the corner to the beat. It's a radio hit you love from the mid-90s, but it's also a song that's about someone dealing with the HIV crisis. Both exist. If you want to dance in the corner at the wedding and enjoy the beat, great. On other days, you want to find the true meaning, what the artist was saying. It's always there for you. And you can enjoy it. But Star Wars is that big and deep for me now. I am moved more, like I said, at this idea that George was like, cool, I did American Graffiti because Francis Ford Coppola told me to write a lighthearted comedy. I did that. I did my Star Wars thing because I can't do Flash Gordon. I'm going to do Apocalypse now. Gary Kurtz, you want to go do this? Hey, something's happened. You know what, Francis? You take that one. I'm going to go at a different angle. And it sometimes I don't know how to phrase this correctly, Joseph, but like sometimes I almost get not upset at Star Wars, but like I wish it was a little more just direct. Like I wish General Jando down and pulled it down and was like, what you're seeing here is a lesson on the dangers of fascism. You know, and instead it's just, you know, I wish because I always say this, and I don't want to get into like hot takes and debates and everything, but I find that a lot of people that have debated with me off air about what they feel about sequel era movies. And again, I always say you can like and engage. I know original trilogy fans that just want to stick there. That's fine. But I sometimes marvel that some people are like some of the things about, say, episode 8. I'm like, oh, I get it. You didn't pay attention to episode 6. You engaged with it on not the wrong level, but you stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't understand what the movie was communicating. Totally fine. Why would you? You're 7. But you're stuck with that. And I have no problem at the risk of being grumpy, pushing people a little harder to engage with Star Wars if you love Star Wars. If you get your inspiration from Lord of the Rings, Indiana Jones, reading a Dickens novel, I don't care. But if you're here for Star Wars, I want to push you a little bit. I want to challenge you to actually see what is there and not worry about the plots, not worry the connections, not worry about the lore. That's always going to be there. We're going to have fun. You and I have a lot of fun talking about Max Rebo's butt. We just did that on Tuesday.
We might do it again. It might be an every Tuesday thing.
But in the face of unnerving, heart-wrenching tragedy all over the world, globally, or even in your own backyard or your own life, or even if you're just feeling down, Star Wars has that answer, and it has a little bit of a blueprint, and it's also about how you can fall off that blueprint and get back on. And I just want people to push. I want to push them more and more to engage with that. Mm-hmm. Sorry, was that a rant? I think that was a rant.
No. It's an honest opinion, and I think that's where it becomes really helpful to, try to define the conversations that we're having. And I think it's totally understandable that everything gets blurred, but there is just that conversation of a casual conversation with fans of like, what is your favorite lightsaber? What's your favorite fight scene? Did you like this one or did you like that one? And it's just about opinions. It's just, it's to me, it's really engaging with like, these are fun movies and they're fast and weird and they can be embraced as escapism. To me, that's always, there's no debate needed. Your opinion was your opinion. We're all right. It's opinions. And then for me, you drift into this other side that is analysis of what are the films really, truly saying? And what evidence do we have from the text? What arguments can we make that say, here's my argument about what this film is about or what the point of this scene is. And here's my supporting evidence from the text. And if you want to take it, outside of it, here's my supporting evidence from, quotes from creators involved, if you want to look at it that way. But that really moves into this sort of analytical space. And I think a lot of the tension is that our conversations exist in this muddy space in between. between opinions and analysis. And what I hear you saying is, for me, if somebody just wants to say, I love this Star Wars and I don't like this one, like, cool, great. When people kind of have an opinion about what Star Wars means, and I think it's not supported by the text, it makes me want to go, let's have an analytical conversation, not an opinion conversation. Yeah. Let's have an analytical conversation. State your argument and show me your evidence, because I think you're taking the wrong lesson from Star Wars.
Yeah. Can I be specific? It's one that needles me and it pushes me off the edge of cliff diving into grumpiness, which Star Wars would teach me not to. Like the idea that go to the lightsaber toss in Last Jedi and go to the lightsaber catch by Luke in Rise of Skywalker. And the idea that is was done intentionally to negate, fight back against aid and everything. It drives me crazy, because you were the first to like say, I think off air, we're just like, finish watching the movie Last Jedi, the Luke at the end of Last Jedi it would have been the Force ghost that grabs the saber and tells Rey, hey, you know what? You were right. I learned that lesson. Sorry. You can have an opinion that you don't like, that you didn't like the toss in 8. That's fine.
Yeah.
But my point is, what we're doing, I want to push you to dig deeper to what you're talking about of connecting and the analysis of it is, then I think there's such a powerful lesson at the end of 8, and I just want you to get it. And I don't want you to worry about what you thought the movie making process was here. And I'm tired of the gamifying of it here. And I was part of it. I was part of many big channels and many big shows for a while that had their heyday in the sun that are long gone, that are about, let's debate this and win. Let's score a point. And I think that poisoned the well a lot. Again, if you didn't like the toss at eight, I totally get it. I don't physically like the toss. Like, I wish he tossed it differently. Great. But the point of that whole movie, that journey, that character, and then in nine to confirm it, to go, yeah, I Luke, even in my state, in my life, at the end of my life, I learned the big valuable lesson. That just has, it's so powerful to me. I don't want you to miss it while you're debating the surface of things, man. And that's why I almost just have to, we repeat ourselves a lot here. Maybe we almost like we're apologizing for it. Not in this conversation, but just in Force Center overall. And I just get, it does turn to grumpiness. Cause I'm like, but then you're going on a show and you're talking about this, and that poisons the well, the conversation around for casual fans to go, I heard JJ went into Reddit and just did that because of that. Like, what? It's a lie. And it's also not what's there. Star Wars is offering so much. It's so much there.
I think that's a perfect example, because both those beats, the tossing and the catching. Hey, if we're talking about opinions, did you like them or not? Conversation done. You know, you didn't like the way it was done. You didn't feel right to you. You felt it was too heavy handed the way it was executed on either of them. I think they're both a little bit heavy handed. You're always making that choice as a creator, as a writer, director, and actor of like, how subtle do we go and how big do we go? Yeah. Those are both big moments.
Yes.
That show Luke in one spot and another spot. They're both big. Whatever opinion you want to have about them, it's yours. But if you want to make an argument about what the beat means, then then let's roll up our sleeves and let's, you know, use the whole text, not just conjecture.
Yeah.
And the text is, as we've talked about so many times, of Luke thinks that he should not take action. The lightsaber is a symbol of action. He's showing Rey very firmly, I will not take action. By the end of Last Jedi, he has been convinced that it is his fear that is keeping him from acting, and he finds a path to act in a way that he is confident will only help and defend and won't hurt anyone, which is what he's afraid of. And in the text declares, it's not just the declaration of I'm holding the lightsaber, the literal words out of our hero, Luke Skywalker's mouth, and I will not be the last Jedi, which he says confidently, proudly, beautifully. He doesn't go, and I will not be the last Jedi, and we'll see how it goes. You know, he says it with great confidence. So that's talking about the text. And even then somebody could go, well, I have a different analysis of the text, and I'd listen to the argument. You know?
Yeah.
But to me, that is a little bit of what it's about is, when do these conversations, when do these opinions for me become important to attach them to arguments with evidence from the text?
Yeah. And I don't want to spin. This is a great question from David that we're going to take to other areas, but this is where it starts. But it's where it starts for me, and where for the last 2 years, my state of being has been over it, where I publicly can get a little more upset than I want to be. And I don't like choosing that. And that's not the choice I want to make of igniting the lightsaber to destroy. We are not the type of show that wants to pick apart, that wants to live in what ifs and what could have beens, because to me, it's simple as dark side builds, dark side destroys, light side builds. I just want to continue to find what's there, because I think I'm sharing the joy. I'm up on the mountain on fire, and I'm coming down the hill, and I want to preach. I want to preach the gospel of Star Wars, because that's why it's so big. And that's why, you know, I love the generations, the new perspectives, people finding stuff out for the first time. I'm not here to fight that. I'm not here to be an obstacle in front of that. I'm not here to say, you know, the new Star Wars is intentionally dark. That it offers no hope, which is a lie. It's just a lie when it's there, because I want people to see what's there. Anyways, I'm also holding a very cute sleeping chihuahua while I do this. So it's a weird juxtaposition of cute chihuahua, angry Ken.
Well, and there you go. There's juxtapositions all over Star Wars. There's the fun escapism of the doggy and the serious ideas of Ken. Yeah, I know we took a little bit longer on the way David framed this question, but it's important to me to kind of share why I celebrate the depth of Star Wars, and why I celebrate the fun, pulpy, weird escapism. And then also, I think, to also just check ourselves on how we talk about it, because I don't ever want to say that people just... that I am 100% correct, or we're 100% correct, and people should just agree. To me, it's about, if I'm at a party and somebody says they don't like a part, I'm just like, cool, why? And then hopefully I can learn something about the person and their perspective.
See,
if you're making a declarative statement the lesson of Star Wars is the Jedi are bad and the Empire was actually right, like, okay, now you're making a statement that isn't about your opinion. You're making a statement about what this incredibly deep and profound story means. Back it up with your evidence from the text.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to learn what you do at parties. Next time someone says something, I'm just going, oh, okay. Why? As opposed to what I do now, just pull up my phone and block them on Twitter in front of them, which has happened on a few occasions.
A form of defense.
Away with you, I say. That's not right. That's not the right way. So anyways, all right, let's move. We got some good stuff coming here.
Final thing I'll say is about that my hope is always that it can be a conversation, because even if I don't agree with you, sometimes when people don't like something, it's because of a life experience they've had. And it's not just about the thing, because we bring ourselves to it. And then I learn something about what they like, or maybe I had a conversation with my hairstylist about Book of Boba Fett. And it was great because she's a very casual Star Wars fan. And it was fascinating for me to really, really in person hear that perspective of how did it land with somebody who, you know, doesn't know that planet was Kamino, you know, who's not, you know, salivating over that, you know, those are the best conversations when you can learn more about the other person, and disagreements can be a way that we can build rather than fight.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just over the years have found myself less worried about box office, less worried about the making of unless it's the fun behind the scenes stories. None of the drama and all that's not something I'm interested in. It's all about what is there. So anyways, here's to your hairstylist.
And with that, we'll wrap up. No, we're going to actually answer David's direct question instead of just questions implied. By the way, he framed the question. Thank you, David, for opening up all those avenues of discussion that clearly Ken and I needed to have. Let's get into this specific question. I'll read it again since it's been a while. He says, in your view, what are the best teachings, lines of dialogue, and general philosophies from a galaxy far, far away that help you understand and cope with the big, all too real global events that we have been witness to recently? And I think that's really interesting because he's framing it in terms of how to cope with how difficult and scary and upsetting the world is, as well as sometimes our own personal lives. So did you pick out a couple ideas, a couple quotes, Ken?
Too many big themes. I'll start here. This idea, I love this idea that the hope of tomorrow is present today, and the journey that you want to start has already begun. And so that could be on a small scale, your career choice, something you want to do in life, be a better you. You're already on it. And this is the twin sons moment. This is the looking out. Luke longing for everything, longing for a life. He you know, mind not on where he was. This I know, but like, he was already on that path. He's been on it for his entire life. He just didn't know. And that includes the big issues of where we're trying to maybe get to a better world. That hope, it's already there. We're already moving towards it. So that should give you even more hope, confidence to continue. And I love the discovery of that. And Star Wars is that hero's journey. Is not just about the hero rising up to fight the big evil. It is the hero changing, growing, making a difference, pushing towards the light. Head down until morning, finding hope, and your journey has already begun.
Oh yeah. And I think that is a really powerful idea, that like, where whatever is happening to us in our lives, even if it's not exactly what we imagined or planned, it is part of our journey. It is part of of what shapes us to be who we are. And maybe all of the things that even felt like detours, maybe there'll be this moment where it crystallizes. And even if it was not necessarily the life you planned, that what have you learned because of it? What have you gained because of it? And how can you make the most of what your journey has been? And I think that applies to big global things. You know, I don't think anybody sat down planning their life with a global pandemic in it, right?
Yeah.
And it's so easy to focus on what was lost, because so much is lost, and we should. We should think about how to prevent it and how to cope with it and that. But then there's also like, well, what did you learn? What did you discover about yourself or about the way humans are interacting, or what did it reveal about our society? What did we what could possibly be proactive out of this tragedy that we all had to live through.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm, great.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
What else you got?
This big one. I love, we did that Yoda one. I keep referencing the Yoda's Force lessons from Clone Wars season 6. And this is the point where even I said, I was like, it's so beautiful. I wish there was an actual like billboard that said, here's the big point. No one could miss it ever again. Like I did first time around. It just connects to Dagobah, connects to Yoda on Dagobah, which is a big scene and a big thing about Star Wars philosophy. But this idea of those episodes say directly, fear is evil. Fear is evil. And fear is it manifests in so many different ways. But it, to me, the problem is this idea about fear of letting go, fear of change, fear of growth. And every time the Sith are examples of that. It's the theme of so many fights, and you allow that fear to grow because then you become afraid of losing your power, afraid of being replaced, afraid of not being able to be up to the challenge. Therefore, you don't better yourself. You don't grow. That's the big thing. And for that, we always talk about hope is the point of Star Wars, but we love adding hope versus fear, hope over fear, finding hope within the fear because we all have those fears. They're all natural, but what do you do with them? And that's why that Yoda, Phantom Menace, fear leads to this, leads to that, leads to suffering is so important. That's what George was trying to say. And that's what Star Wars continues to say. We see in the world right now so much of the really bad things that just jump out of the headlines and grab you are based in fear. And fear is so often sold by so many people as fear is about standing in front of the dragon. And that's part of that's courage. It's courageous stuff, but that's not the fear that we're talking about. That's not to me, not the fear that leads to so much evil.
Yeah.
It is the fear of letting go, the fear of change, the fear of growth. And that's what the Sith represent time and time again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think for me, the hope versus fear, I'm sorry, am I cutting you off?
No. You did not.
I think the hope versus fear framing of Star Wars is so powerful to me because it is everywhere in Star Wars, and I think it is one of the, you know, it's in plenty of other storytelling in mythology, mm-hmm. but Star Wars is very, very interested in looking at fear in all of its aspects, and once I opened myself to that, it became so applicable to my life and to my understanding of myself, and in particular to understanding of the bad choices that I have made in life that have mm-hmm. caused anger and suffering. I think for like a quote, Luke's just confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi. Like mm-hmm. that's the billboard you're talking about to me. Like it's everywhere in Star Wars and Yoda's, you know, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering is a billboard, but also just Luke just resetting that, saying, it was fear that made me throw the lightsaber away. It was fear that kept me on this island. The idea that fear is something that has many negative impacts, that it can keep you from acting, because mm-hmm. fear is often about how it's a way. Hope and fear are both ways to react to the future that hasn't happened yet. Hope is proactive, where you are hoping for the best and acting on it and believing in the possibility that things could get better, even marginally, and then taking action to make that come true within your power. And fear is this bad thing might happen. And I think for me, that has manifested in, you know, if I don't get this gig or this person doesn't mention this, then, then I will feel unwanted or unloved. But you don't, the problem is we're not necessarily trained to examine that flash of fear.
Yeah.
And if you spend time trying to examine it, you can go, ooh, I really don't like what happened because it makes me afraid that this even worse thing will happen. Or, I don't want to apply to this, you know, if you're younger, I don't want to apply to this college because what if they reject me? You know, it stops you from moving forward and it makes you often lash out in anger if you feel threatened. And so it can be this very personal thing. It, you know, confronting fear can be about applying to college. It can be about, you know, writing a poem for the first time. Because what if it sucks? And what if I'm bad? And what if everybody sees and laughs at me? And takes away my power and my control. And it can also be just be weaponized. And I think to, mm-hmm. to the big picture, that's what Star Wars tells so well about the big picture is this classic thing that happens of, you know, a figure that wants power needs your power, the group's power to get their power. And they get it by making you afraid of the other. The other is coming for you. And the only way you're going to get by it is to hand your power to me. It is a lie, and it is getting people to willingly give up their own power because you have stirred this fear of the other taking something from you. That's just exactly what's going on in the prequel story. And sadly, it's exactly what we're seeing in some of the horrific things that are going on in the world right now.
100%. 100%. Lucas even addresses that in the Star Wars Archives books. And that was a book, that was the interview was a couple of years ago, saying this about Attack of the Clones, about the prequels. It's him saying, you look around and it's all there. It's all happening. And it's all what I was trying to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, just kind of moment wise, quote wise, the confronting fears, the destiny of a Jedi is just, it's mm-hmm. just a great little reminder. You know, I think it is also about like all of the Jedi's confrontations with the sort of the big bads are also this analogy for like, well, what do you fear? What's the hardest thing for you to deal with? You know, mm-hmm. Vader, Palpatine, yeah. The dishes today, whatever it is, confront it because you will feel better by confronting it. And then quickly on this general topic, I think the other thing with fear is, you know, it can hold you back, but then like Yoda says, it can lead to anger, right? If you're afraid of something, getting angry about it makes you feel powerful. And two quotes that I really love there is in Attack of the Clones, Padme saying to Anakin, to be angry is to be human. I love this idea that Padme has the wisdom to be like, it's not bad to be angry. It's totally natural. Bad things happen, or we're frightened, or we're legitimately wronged. And we get angry. And it is so tempting to act on it. And maybe anger can spur you to a productive action, but just lashing out is usually going to cause yourself pain, right? I'm afraid of X, so I'm going to push back, and I didn't actually stop X from happening. It just caused Y problem. And I also really like that's reflected in that Star Wars Clone Wars Yoda arc we've been talking about a lot, where the Force Priestess Serenity talks to Yoda after he confronts his dark side. And Yoda's like, oh, I hadn't really been thinking about my dark side because I just was kind of complacent and had the hubris that like I beat that a long time ago.
Right.
And Serenity says to Yoda, to deny it simply gives it power. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about fear, but I think anger comes out of fear. And I think it's so important to dealing with big picture stuff to recognize, okay, I'm angry. And maybe I'm legitimately right to be angry. It's so easy to be angry about so many things that are going on in the world. But then the question is, are you going to lash out and spread more anger, or are you going to find a way to make the anger productive to actually make the world a better place?
Yeah. Yeah. And we Star Wars also deals so much with the choices, right? And that Yoda arc deals a lot of here's what happens. Something bad. How do you act to it? How do you react to it? What choice do you make? You have control of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are a couple of big ones for me. I have one other. But I want to pitch back to you. What else you got?
Yeah, as far as like little scenes and everything and lines, apologize. I didn't write down all the lines.
No, that's
exactly
fine.
Yeah, but I love, Shmi Skywalker, such an important character. I really, really believe that. And that's even without, we got some additional information coming out of like the Padme book and everything. If you never have another new bit of Shmi storytelling, you'd still have great value. Now, I hope we get more Shmi, but Phantom Menace, man. Her, the strength of her, not just as a mother, but just as a being, a living being in this galaxy, the strength to let Anakin go and face that fear is something that I really, really take a lot of strength from. And then what she says and the stuff with Anakin, and, you know, you say, you know, people, biggest problem is people never help each other. It's all powerful stuff there, but it's all centered around Shmi and her heart. And what she believes, and it's real powerful stuff. And I think that's why I've just grown to love Phantom Menace more and more and more, because that stuff is there and it's present, the big lessons and the big purpose.
Yeah. And I mean, the quote from Shmi that I think of probably the most, they're all great, but that you can't stop change any more than you can stop the sun's from setting, right? That's this really powerful thing for Anakin and for the story of Star Wars that, like, yeah, as individuals, we all have power and we have a choice to use it. And even extremely powerful people like Anakin and Rey still have a limit to what they can control, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, that even goes to, like, you know, there's at one point where Padme says to Anakin, you're not all powerful. He says, well, I should be, right?
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
To me, this is about change. Like, in an ideal world, we all have agency and we can all kind of make change in our lives, or we can all sort of defend against, like, negative change, like somebody literally actually attacking us, you know? But we're not all powerful, and the world is going to change around us. And we can either be afraid about that or we can be hopeful about that. But the first step is some things are going to happen that you absolutely can't control because no one is all powerful. And that's, you know, a part of why it matters that we're a big symbiotic group, No one individual controls everything. No one individual is powerful enough to stop the suns from setting.
Yeah. Ah, great stuff there. Other moments for me. I've just become I'm really starting to appreciate Jin's speech. Not the big speech with Nowhere Jabel fighting against her there, but the one until the chances are spent speech. And that just works a lot of times on hey, we're gonna, you know, let's make this happen creatively. Let's take a shot. Let's do this, and we're gonna go until the chances are spent, and then we'll deal with that there. That's just become, it's almost like a rah 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 coach's speech in a way, but I appreciate it, which is weird because when that scene was first kind of being shown in the trailers, I remember being like, I don't know about this cheesy dialogue they got in this real world. Let me see. So a lesson for me to just see what's there for you, engage with it there. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Han and Ben's final moments, that dream. And I love the cheek touch of compassion that kind of saves the galaxy. But for it to come back and Rise of Skywalker and just mean so much compassion in the face of utter fear and hate. It's not always going to be the answer. It might be the start of the answer, but it's just a powerful reminder of what it is and a lot of other things that work in that scene, to be clear. So and a couple tiny ones, and I'll kick it back to you, Joseph. I cannot underestimate and undervalue how much I love Danny Trejo's Rancor scene with Boba Fett about what you are, or what people think you are. It's not who you are. It's so powerful. And that's why anything you want to say about the Book of Boba Fett and things that I might go, maybe you're right. Maybe they should have done it. Maybe the marketing, I totally agree with you. I would take it all. I would take all the warts just to have that scene in Star Wars. Love that one there. And then the final
that one is so powerful because it has a slightly different spin on, you know, the lesson that we can get many places of, like, you choose who you are. But that specific idea of, like, yeah, the Rancor, and via metaphor, you, Boba Fett, you're really strong and you're really good at fighting. So there it's that truth about you, but people are trying to make you be that one thing. It's a real lesson, not just about being who you are, but allowing yourself to be multifaceted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All in the face of a little doggy, as Danny Trejo said. And the final one, you want to talk about, go back to David's original question of, you know, when all this is going on, there's a line of dialogue, is there something that you kind of go to help you cope? How about this, man? Chewie hugging Han in Jabba's palace, Return of the Jedi, and Han just going, I'm all right, pal. I'm all right. We all need a good Wookiee hug at a friend in the corner to help get you through.
Yeah. Oh, that is absolutely great. Great. The Jin one is also really powerful, I think, for dealing with big world stuff, because it's so easy to let doubt, fear, nihilism creep in. And when the victory looks far away, that's the thing that I see a lot, where people get crushed by how awful things can be. And they always have a reason that you can't. It connects to Yoda's always with him, it cannot be done. You know, and the way Jin lays that out is like, yeah, no, the odds are very, very small. That's not a reason to not try. Mm-hmm. You know, that's real about, like, that's the value of hope. Like, we're going to keep trying because nothing's going to happen if we don't.
Yeah. Franchises and properties, but King Theoden saying, "What can we do against so much suffering?" or whatever the exact line is, and Aragorn standing and saying, "Ride out with me." That is similar to the Jyn moment of we keep going, we keep going.
Yep. Keep going. Yeah. Final one for me is the classic Luke Skywalker Yoda conversation in Empire Strikes Back. And I think there's elements of it that I didn't fully appreciate, but it got to me when I was a kid. It worked the way Star Wars was supposed to, because I thought lightsabers were cool. And I thought Luke was cool. And I thought Yoda was weird and funny, and I had their action figures, and I wanted to memorize every line. And then as I got into my teen years and was watching it on pan and scan VHS again and again, it hit me on a deeper level. So I always want to celebrate it, of the training moment where Luke asks, "Is the dark side stronger?" And Master Yoda says, no, quicker, easier, more seductive. And Luke says, "How am I to know the good side from the bad?" And Yoda says, "You will know when you are calm, at peace, passive. A Jedi uses the Force for knowledge and defense, never for attack." And even as a kid, it challenged me, because like, I'm on board with all of it. I get it. And like, yeah, but come on, sometimes you got to attack, right?
Right.
Yeah. But going through all these beats in life of like, yeah, no, the dark side, it's not stronger, but it's very powerful, because it's anger's quick to join you in a fight, and it makes you feel powerful in the moment. It's seductive, right? Yeah. You it's easy to want to lash out. But then there's that real question of like, well, what are you going to get out of that? Is it the most productive way to get what you actually want? It's not about even being polite, like, don't get angry. It's about, is it going to serve you in what you truly want? So that one is always extremely powerful. And just the idea of, you will know the difference when you're calm, at peace, passive. That relates to me from huge life stuff to, again, just like, don't send, you get that annoying email at 8:30. Don't send the response. You will know the right way to respond. Get some sleep. Mm-hmm. Watch a joyful moment of Star Wars. Take a deep breath and you'll know.
Yeah.
That's really powerful to me.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Hey, Star Wars is pretty good.
It's real good. There's a lot. Remixing some of the things that we've been talking about in the past, definitely. But I think it was important to tackle this stuff when all these conversations are going on. Everything from the sort of day-to-day of how we talk about stories to how we use these stories to cope with big life stuff. Any final thoughts from you?
No, I always joke, I get a little grumpy, but it's like I'm working through my stuff. I'm working through this idea of like, I feel sometimes we're up against a tidal wave and what can we do? And I'm just talking about the movie discussion world where, 11,000 people watch a show that's just spewing hate and lies. And Lou and our message and the other podcasts out there just wanted to celebrate Star Wars, talk about what's there, talk about the inspiration. It's lost. And you feel lost. And I'm feeling that lately, and I don't want to. And so I'm going to keep taking the chances until the chances are spent. And I think I needed to hear this today, David. It was a great question.
Yeah, no. And that'll be my final thought to bring it back to the choices that, you and I and lots of people in the pundit world of pop culture and lots of other things. Is the dark side stronger, quicker, easier, more seductive? That is huge spiritual, political leadership, but it is also, it applies to everything, right? Because for example, we have our qualms, but here at Force Center, we love Rise of Skywalker. We would get more clicks if we said that in an angry and hateful way, right? Yeah. If we put out a tweet saying, here's our podcast that shows why people who don't like Rise of Skywalker are idiots.
Mm-hmm.
We would get twice the engagement, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's quicker, easier, more seductive. So it's just that quote, that reminder of like, yeah, but what will that get you in the end? What are you contributing to the world when you choose to put that out there that way instead of, little bit more of, we're discussing it from a place of knowledge and defense, hopefully not attack.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm usually the one to pick up the saber first around these parts, so I'll put it down.
I pick up the saber often in my day-to-day life and have to go through this. It's part of the reason these conversations are so valuable. Thank you, everyone, who tuned into this episode of Questions of the Force and listened to three fun, bouncy questions, and then... an entirely different back half of the episode with this great question from David, balancing lots of thoughts about Star Wars. If you want to put in questions, everything from the deep and the profound to the very just absurd and fun, you can do that by going to our Twitter page, and we have a pinned tweet calling for questions. We've got some great ones coming up. And if you're a patron on Patreon, we post a call for questions every 2 to 3 months. I'm going to be checking it this week. And if it needs some refreshing, I'll put up a new post. But that is how to get these questions to us. And with that, Ken, I will pass the talking baton to you to let people know where they can find us.
Absolutely. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. And hey, you know what? Do us a favor. Reach out on Twitter if you're on there. Use the hashtag Force Center so we can find it easier. And tweet a scene or line or a moment that you draw inspiration from. We'd love to see that. Love to have that conversation ongoing with all of you. You can also find us on Instagram and YouTube. Thank you to all of you who joined the live stream last Friday on May 13th. It was a lot of fun. We really had a lot of fun, and we're going to do it again. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcasts available on a lot of different spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. Hey, drop us a review on Apple Podcasts if you're there. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly if you'd like to. From there, you get into the Discord where you can have a daily conversation with Force Center friends. It's always a fun time over there. You can follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, KatNapsok.com, for information on more things I do, including a comedy show coming up if you're local in SoCal, June 4th at the Troubadour, famous music venue, but we're doing some comedy there. Me, Mark Ellis, headliner Ryan Sickler, Tyler Boone doing some music as well. Ticket information on my website at KatNapsok.com. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. I recently did a TikTok about that weird Emperor action figure that we both love, so check that out. You can also go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com. I'll be updating it soon with some fun stuff happening in the future. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for that deluxe Boba Fett action figure that I'm going to take out of the package, this has been Force Center.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.